Hello and welcome into another episode of the CG Business Advisor Podcast, brought to you by CG Tax Audit and Advisory. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and remind you that you can follow the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, on Apple, Spotify, etc. And you can reach out to us or find out more information about CG Tax Audit and Advisory by heading to our website, cgteam.com. And on the podcast page, you'll find a player there with all of our past episodes, and you can learn more about all of our featured guests. This next topic for today's episode is an interesting one. It's about change. And we know change can be scary in all walks of life, for sure, but especially when it comes to business. Today's guest is Angela Lipovsky, a seasoned business strategy and operations consultant and fractional COO with over 15 years of experience driving transformational change and sustainable growth. As founder of ARL Elevate, Angela helps organizations and teams across a variety of industries translate the vision for their businesses into reality by helping them solve complex business problems and creating a business strategy to target those challenges. Angela specializes in enhancing operational effectiveness, leading change initiatives, and empowering leadership teams through fractional COO support, project-based services, and as a strategic advisor. Drawing on her deep expertise across Fortune 500 companies as well as small businesses, Angela brings a collaborative and results-driven approach to navigating organizational shifts. Angela, thanks so much for joining us here on the CG Business Advisor Podcast. Before we begin, I want to learn a little bit more about your background and what led you to start your own business, ARL Elevate Consulting.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Let me start by just saying how excited I am to talk on this podcast, but more importantly, on this topic specifically. And that ties a little bit to my background and how I got here. So change management for me is, it's a way of life. It's a business. If you're not changing, you're going backwards. If you're not changing, you become extinct. Just like some of the most popular examples you've seen, Blockbuster being one of the biggest ones, right? A business that doesn't innovate just fundamentally doesn't go forward. And that's been my passion kind of my entire life. As I think about my career journey or my education journey, it's been all about that. So I started in my undergrad at Lehigh University, and I have an undergrad in economics and sociology, cause and effect in business, cause and effect in people. It's all about what lever do you pull over here and what happens on the other side and why and what's going to be kind of the future of that change that you make. When I started my career at UBS, it was a lot of the same. I did roles in marketing. I drove big change management initiatives. I ran business management initiatives for UBS. And it was very much about what are the things that you can do, how fast can you do them, and how effective can you be? That was the big takeaway when we were there. I decided to get my MBA at Stern just for fun while I was at UBS. And I focused on leadership and change management. But I found that by taking classes I liked and naturally winding up in that space in particular, and then moved on to Lincoln Financial and helped the chief marketing officer there really drive the organization to be a digital data forward organization. Again, really kind of how do you do things differently? How do you innovate in the future? And then I moved on and decided, well, I had done the big company thing. I want to go to a startup. And so I went to a startup and helped them really drive their strategy in the health and wellness space. To merge two companies together and set a new strategy for how we help small businesses focus on their health and employee journey and their health and wellness goals. And so that was everything different from what they were doing previously to what they do now and really kind of helping drive that forward. And I took a fractional COO position there and decided that I wanted to do that for lots of different industries and different businesses. So my passion is really helping people solve what is the most complicated in business or what they feel is the most complicated. That's when I want to get in there and help them solve it. Put it in a nice little bow with a good initiative plan going forward and people understanding what they're doing and help them kind of drive that going forward. So I've had the opportunity to do that in my own business with lots of different industries, lots of different businesses. It's been a really fun journey on the path.
So you identify these problems, you're creating strategic growth plans for these organizations. But how do you approach the issues? What steps do you take to help all these organizations come up with the effective solutions?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about change management is when you use that big word, change management, people tend to run away from it. They get scared of this big word of change management. But when you think about it from a practical standpoint, think about some of the businesses I've helped most recently. One thing that I've done with a company most recently has been around helping them be more effective in driving the goals that they were trying to drive. And really the biggest problem was they are a small team, less than 10 people. They're trying to make big things happen. And they had good ideas. They have dedicated people, but there was nothing moving forward. The big change they actually needed was the way they were running their meetings. So yes, it's change management. You need a plan. You need to stay focused on what you're doing, all those different things. But it's not big change management like digital innovation initiative. It can be, but it can also be like the little micro small things. There's commonality, at least in my approach, when I think about how to handle those kinds of things. The first most important thing, and the thing that most people in my mind don't start with, is the end in mind. And it sounds basic, but you have to know what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it. And the why is equally as important as the what. So if you're telling me that you're trying to triple your revenue target, as an example, because you're trying to sell your business in 5 years, that's going to be very different than tripling your revenue target because you have some debt that's going to come due in 2 years, as an example. That plan, how you motivate people around it, what you do next is really going to matter on why you're trying to do that. So start with the end in mind. That's the first thing. The second thing is set realistic but aspirational goals. What does that really mean? I think about this like if I'm trying to plan a road trip. It's summer. It's time for road trips, right? So if you're trying to plan a road trip from New Jersey to California, you generally have a sense of where you're going and how you're going to get there. But if the focus of your road trip is to explore the southern part of the country, you're going to make sure that on that road trip, you're not going through Michigan, as an example. If you're trying to go north, right, like you're going to plan that road trip a little bit differently. And but if I told you you had to go from New Jersey to California and you start going toward Italy, you're definitely in the wrong direction, right? And so the idea behind that aspirational but realistic goals is like, yes, I can drive from here to California. That is realistic. I know generally how I'm going to get there. I know generally the path I want to take, but specifically what I'm going to do on my path there, I don't know that yet, but I'm going to figure it out as I get there.
I love
that's
the analogy.
The second thing.
Yeah.
Aspirational and realistic. The third part of it really is around being honest with yourself and the business. So this is around making sure that when you set goals, you're also thinking about where the organization is today and what's working and what's not working. So it's great to think about what goal you want to set, but if Rome is burning, right, you can't actually achieve that going forward. So one of my most favorite things to do here is it's very common to think about what's called a postmortem, right? I'm sure you've kind of thought about that differently, Scott, in your career. So I have this big goal, I have this big initiative, and afterwards I'm going to set a meeting 1 week later or something like that. I'm going to get everybody together. What worked? What didn't work? What did we learn? And how are we going to move forward from here? And then you apply some of those learnings, if you do it well, you apply some of those learnings to a future state. I love doing pre-mortems. I love having that conversation when you're setting the goals at the beginning. So let's really have an honest conversation about what's working today, what's not working today. Why are we doing this? What might go wrong? It helps you set a plan that not only will get you from New Jersey to California, but will help you on the detours around your path to make sure that you actually get there. And the last one is make sure that you hold yourself accountable to this plan that you've set yourself and the organization or the company that you're a part of. So what does that really mean? Oftentimes you invest a ton of time, money, resources, effort in the front end of this process. And then 1 year later, you come back and say, hey, we had this big idea. We wanted to drive this change, but it just didn't happen. When was the last time you had a conversation about it? You look back at the calendar 1 year ago. That's why. Because the way that you drive change is to make it be a consistent drumbeat, a part of what you're doing on the day to day. And so it doesn't have to be a big formal meeting. If you're having monthly meetings or weekly meetings with your team, you make it a part of that agenda for 5 minutes to check in on the task that you set. At a minimum, you want to make sure that you set goals quarterly and that you, at the end of the quarter, look back at what you said you were going to do that quarter and set new goals for the next quarter, always in service of whatever that bigger goal is in the future state, but really setting that plan and holding yourself accountable to checking in on it is really the way to do it. So for me, it's really those four steps.
You mentioned something before. I just want to go back to it real quick. You say change management. We heard that term a lot. Can you just simplify that for the audience a little bit, like specifically describe what exactly change management means?
Yeah. So to me, change management is really that process of thinking through the people, the processes, the culture, the business outcomes that you're trying to drive, putting a plan against it and driving that forward. So it's just like a job that you have. If your job is to be, the person who lays tile in a house, as an example, I'm big on the analogies, as you can tell, right? If your job is to lay tile in the house, you need to set time to actually go get the tile, set tile in the house, all these different things. A change management initiative or driving change in your organization, that's really what it's about, is about thinking about all the things that you need to do to actually drive that change effectively. And so for some organizations that might be more tech heavy right now, like in the smaller example I gave earlier, it's really about thinking about the way that you interact as a team and making sure that's the most effective and efficient way of doing that in the future state. So that's really what it's about for me.
So how do you know if an organization is ready? Like, you're brought in by a company, you identify it, a need for change. It has to happen. But how do you determine whether or not they're ready for that change? Because as much as, you know, we say we need it, we know change is scary and many people and businesses just aren't prepared for it.
Yeah. And it is such a good question, Scott. And the answer is going to be no in some piece of it. So when I think about it, the first question I ask myself is the organization ready for the change? And then are the people ready for the change? And you have to think about them separately when you think about really, is this a change that you can effectively drive to go forward in the next step? So when you think about the organization, it's thinking about the formal things that you would think about. Do we have the right resources? Do we have time to do this? Do we have clear goals? Do people understand what those goals are? Do we know what success might look like for this change? It's great to do something different, but if you don't know what the end is, starting with that end in mind and what success might look like there, it doesn't matter because you won't know when you get there. You won't know when you're at California from that perspective. When you think about the people side of it, it's really around, can I get them to understand the why? And can I think about it for all the different parts of my organization? So leaders are going to be at a different place. They're more involved in the conversation oftentimes. Change agents or those people who ultimately you're asking to be an active part of doing something different, they're going to think about it differently. And then the employees who maybe are not engaged in it in a day-to-day, but ultimately they're hearing about it from their colleagues. They're hearing about it on a big town hall or something from that perspective. They're going to think about it in a different mindset. The other thing that's really important about understanding, are you ready for change? And why I say the answer is no in some pieces, there's so many components that have to work so well together to actually drive that change going forward. Like we were saying before, the people, the technology, the business outcomes, holding yourself accountable, having clear goals, all those pieces. Inevitably, at some point in time, something there is going to be at a different place on the change curve. And even if you had a leader, as an example, who understood the need for change, helped to drive that change, was an advocate of that change, they've accepted that change, something different might happen. The market might change, or somebody might have a conversation with them. They're going to slide backwards on that curve, and then they have to get re-engaged in that conversation. And so going back to the point about effectively driving a change in an organization is understanding that it's not a linear path and it's not always going to go well, but you have to stay focused on what those goals are. You have to set up structures that enable you to change your plan and adjust when you need to in service of that broader goal and success metric that you set at the very beginning.
So how do you get everybody on board? I mean, specifically the people that make the decisions.
Make them a part of the process. Nobody likes to just be told, this is what I need to do. And so that doesn't mean that they need to be in every meeting. That doesn't mean that they need to be like hands on the keyboard driving every single thing. But inevitably, somebody's not on board when they're worried about what this change is going to mean for them. So it's the what's in it for me. If you're asking me to work more or work differently or learn a new skill, what's in it for me when I think about it from that perspective? Or if you're changing something fundamental about the way that we do work, as an example, is my job at risk? Ultimately, I'm working in so that I can live the life I want to live outside of work, probably. And so if whatever you're doing is risking how they're feeling about that, whether it's their balance of work and life and other commitments or the money that they make or the ability for them to go take a vacation with their family, those are the ways that they're not going to be on board. So when you get them on board, it's about engaging them in that conversation. And really for me, it's not that hard to do if you just put yourself in their mindset, if you can try and do that, right? It's really about thinking about, if I were this person at this level of the organization, what would I want somebody to do? What would I want somebody to say to me? How would I want them to respect the feelings that I have or something from that perspective? And the other part about it is it's not a one-time communication. So the change, those feelings of change, they happen, like I was saying before, consistently throughout the process of driving change. So whatever systems you put in place, if it's going and grabbing a coffee with somebody, or, you know, intentionally dropping in on somebody's team meeting that's involved in a part of this change or even not involved in a part of the change, don't just do it once and then be done with it. Try and make sure that you're consistently staying close and engaging them in that change. That's how you get them on board and help them be successful going forward.
You have any examples that when you have faced any challenges or resistance in implementing some change? Like how did you get by it? How did you move forward through it?
Yeah, I mean, literally every day, right? I mean, that's my job, is to help people drive change. And so what the first strategy, I know this is going to sound kind of ridiculous, but the first thing that you need to do is don't take it personally. Because that first stage, the very first thing that's going to happen is people are going to be angry. And that's not angry at you. They're angry at not understanding what's happening or why. And so if you try really to meet them where they are, that barrier comes down a little bit when you're having those conversations. So for me, I'm thinking of a specific client of mine recently who is struggling to drive a digital change in their organization. They want to implement a new technology tool. It's the tool that inevitably they're going to be using. All the people in the organization are going to use every single day. They've invested a ton of money in trying to find the right tool. And ultimately, they're not moving forward with it. And so that first part of how you start to think about doing it potentially differently is to sit down and have a conversation with people and understand like what ultimately is making them feel like they can't go forward. And the answer in this case was that everything that was being explored was just too complicated. So these are people who are saying, I need to be able to do my work easier and faster. And you're giving me these tools that feel like I have to learn it. Right? You're giving me literally a Ferrari and I just need a Honda. I need to be able to put the keys and drive, right? I don't know what to do with this big thing that you're doing. It doesn't matter how much money you spent on it. And so it just comes down to, I think, Scott, when you think about it, the basics on some things is just, if you were in their shoes, right, what would you think about differently? Or what would you hope somebody did differently? Every example I can think of, it really comes down to that. I know it sounds basic, but it's sometimes being able to really be a good listener and help yourself and others understand what they can do differently to engage people in that change that they're trying to drive.
So let's talk about the process now. Once change implementation is ready, what does the start of this process look like?
A meeting. So I know nobody loves meetings. I get it totally. But a starting point, right? It's like you're running a race. How does that start? The gun goes off, right? For something like this, it starts with some sort of a meeting. And it starts with that conversation around what are we trying to achieve? How are we going to know when we get there? And what potentially is going to sidetrack us? If I can, usually I try in that kickoff meeting to really do that post pre-mortem kind of conversation, understand what some of the derailers are going to be around that. That's how it starts. It's really about that, because it's in that session that you're going to understand, do I need to spend time really understanding how everybody in the organization is going to feel about this and helping them understand the change? Or is everybody so ready for this because it's so broken in whatever's happening right now that when I introduce a plan, they're going to be ready to go with it. But inevitably it's that meeting to kick it off. And then it's the plan to drive it going forward. Nobody likes to feel like they don't have two hands on the wheel. And so when you're trying to drive change, it's about what are we trying to do? Why? But then how are we actually going to do that? How am I going to engage in this process and really help drive it forward?
So what does a successful change management strategy look like? What are some key components of that strategy?
Clear goal with success metrics, like we were saying before. So a lot of the things we were talking about before, it's quarterly goals that get you to that bigger goal. So if we're going to say our big goal, just going back to our analogy from earlier, if our big goal is to get to California on our road trip, right? What are we going to do this first quarter in order to get there? Probably we're going to research the stops that we want to make on the path to get to that place. And so in order to do that research, what are the individual tasks that are going to be involved in that? Maybe there is, I don't know, whatever. We need to research hotels. We need to think about restaurants we want to stop. Maybe there's excursions. And to think about that in a team environment, you may have different experts that are a part of that planning process that take pieces of this and then come back to you with it. And so depending on how big your team is, how big of a change you're trying to drive, that might be something you can do in that one-step process around that planning meeting. Or it might be something where you set the goals in that planning meeting, and then you ask people to go and build their individual plans, really engage in that process on how they're going to drive the goals that you're setting for them, and then come back to the broader group and really have that conversation together.
So let's talk a little bit about some common mistakes that we see in this process. You're trying to drive a big change in, you know, an organization, and these teams maybe are on board 100%, maybe they're not on board 100%. Either way, what are some common mistakes that you've seen during the process?
Leaders not realizing that change is really hard. It's really hard to do. And so it's one of these, I want everybody to be excited about whatever we're trying to do. And so why can't we just all get on board and do it, right? But practically speaking, if you're fundamentally doing something different than you have been doing before, you're trying to set a new normal for how you work on what you're doing. And that requires time and energy. It requires resources when you think about that. So oversimplifying what this might be, again, it doesn't always have to be a big change initiative, but practically speaking, even in that small example we said at the very beginning around rethinking the way you think about meetings, it took time to break them apart and invest in understanding what's the purpose of each of these meetings? How can we structure them differently? How can we hold people accountable? How can we shift who's running different parts of the meeting? So that's something small, but people have to be involved in it. So it's really, in my mind, not understanding that change takes time. And it's something that you're going to ebb and flow. You're going to make progress. You're going to slide down that curve. Then you need to go forward again. Just stick with it and make sure that you give your team the support and the resources they need to actually drive it going forward.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I want to look back throughout your entire career, and I'm going to ask you a difficult question here, okay? Just whatever you want to answer it, you go ahead and you answer it. Try and give me one lesson that you wish more business leaders understood about making a serious change in their organization.
I'm thinking on this one. It's not a choice. That's what I would say. So you can plan, not plan. It's not a choice, right? That's what I would say is the world will move whether you choose to or not. And so the more that you can give your team the tools in your organization, the tools to be successful in the future, the more you're going to drive success yourself in the future. Change isn't a choice. And so it's really about how do you put the right tools in your toolkit to drive that going forward.
Love that. Angela, this is an incredible conversation. And I'm sure our listeners have so many more questions that they want to find out more about ARL Elevate. They want to find more about change management and your process. So where can our listeners go to get in touch with you and learn more about ARL Elevate?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. This has been really a fun chat. And like I said, I love talking about change and helping people really drive it going forward. So if you want to connect, LinkedIn, easy place to find me, Angela Lepofsky. I'm the only one. So search with that name, you'll find me. Otherwise, you can shoot me an email, angela@arlelevate.com.
Great stuff, Angela. Thanks so much for the conversation today. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Scott. Enjoy the rest of your day.
What a great episode and a great conversation with Angela. Again, Angela Lepofsky, the founder of ARL Elevate. For more about Angela and her company, you could head to her website, reach out to her directly. And for more information about CG Tax Audit and Advisory, you can simply head to our website at cgteam.com. And on the podcast page, you'll find links to all of our prior episodes. You can also follow the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, on Apple, Spotify, etc. And we look forward to talking to you next time right here on the CG Business Advisor.